In a coffee shop, on a bus or train, or among your family and friends, you might have heard phrases like, "She's a strong black woman," "Jews are funny and good with money," or "He's a Latin lover." Now, some people might see these as compliments, but are these positive racial stereotypes, and how do they affect how we communicate? For more, we've got Carmen Van Kerkhove. She's co-founder and president of New Demographic, an anti-racism training company, and LaRue Lewis. He's assistant professor of sociology and black studies at the City College of New York. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Carmen, what is a positive racial stereotype? When is it not a compliment?
Well, a positive racial stereotype is some of the things that you mentioned, the idea of a strong black woman or the idea that all Asian kids are really good at science and math. And the problem with these positive racial stereotypes is that they also suggest that the opposite is true of another group. So if Asians are smart, then the implication, the unspoken implication, is that blacks and Latinos are not. If black women are strong, then the implication is that maybe white and Asian women are weak. And so, you know, even though they're quote-unquote positive, there's always a negative spin to these stereotypes.
Well, who's being hurt then? You raise the idea that other groups could be demeaned when one group is essentially complimented. But what about the group that has been, and I use this phrase, you know, with a little caveat, complimented, like the black women and the strong black women, quote?
Well, it can be just as restrictive for the group that is, you know, the target of the positive stereotype. And for example, it becomes very restrictive because if you are a black woman and you need help, you're in a difficult situation, you need help, and you ask for help, does that mean that you have lost some racial authenticity? Or in the workplace, very often what you see is people get pigeonholed according, influenced in part by these racial stereotypes. So because there's this idea that Asians are really good at science and math, they may have a harder time breaking into client-facing positions because people feel that they would be better suited in the back office crunching numbers. So I definitely think that there are negative aspects to even the group that is supposedly benefiting from the positive stereotype.
Professor Lewis, how does this play out in terms of how people get opportunity? Carmen was just talking about ways in which these stereotypes might steer people in certain career directions. What else might happen?
Well, one of the things that happens is that it severely limits people's opportunity to have choices. If we assume that certain groups are good at math or certain groups are really self-perseverant, we tend to miss the things that shape their opportunity, the original things that happen that make the strong black woman have to happen, the ability of not having social resources to support you so you're forced to raise children on your own, you're forced to work extra large hours. So opportunities are restricted before these stereotypes come along, and by using positive stereotypes, we miss the original conditions that produce them.
Carmen, you're Asian American. How did you first start experiencing these stereotypes? Did you experience them personally?
I have definitely experienced them personally, and I think it happens in ways that you're not even aware of. And sometimes, I think in my case, it just happened in the sense that I never really faced any problems at school. It seemed like teachers always liked me and I wasn't a troublemaker. And so I just sort of skated along and I wasn't really particularly all that outstanding as a student. But I think, you know, automatically people always assumed that I was.
So that's interesting. It sounds like people, in a way, left you alone because they said, she's got to be fine. She's Asian American.
Absolutely. And I think that you see this dynamic quite a lot. And unfortunately, what happens is that, you know, when you are benefiting from this positive stereotype, you may not get accurate feedback as to your performance, whether that's in school or in the workplace. And so a lot of people, for example, Asian Americans, will often receive, you know, what they call a halo effect, which is the idea that they just can do no wrong, regardless of whether their performance is actually good or not. There's this idea that they're doing really well, and they're not actually getting accurate feedback on where the areas they need to improve. And so in the long term, it can actually be a hindrance to people's careers.
Now, Professor Lewis, there's been a lot of talk of the negative stereotypes about black men. But what about the, and again, using the phrase with a caveat, the positive stereotypes, particularly comparing brains versus brawn?
Well, that's one of the most common ones. We get the notion that African-American men have really great proclivities towards sports, which assumes that we don't have proclivities towards academics or other type of things that go beyond physical labor. This stereotype comes out of slavery and things that even Jimmy the Greek said in the 1980s, so we actually limit what African-American men are able to do. And then alternatively, when African-American men are intelligent and articulate, the first comment is that you speak very well, which assumes that African-American men aren't able to communicate in meaningful ways, which couldn't be further from the truth.
So in your work as a sociologist, what stands out to you overall as we think not only about these what we're calling positive stereotypes, but in general, how stereotypes drive how people communicate?
I think what's important about stereotypes is we have to recognize that they're gross generalizations. They may have a kernel of truth based in some social reality, but ultimately they limit the choices and limit the opportunities and limit the things that people can do. We as individuals every day use shorthand to process who people are and what they can potentially do, but we should be especially careful to make sure the images that we carry in our heads don't affect the way that we act towards each other.
And Carmen, you're running New Demographic, an anti-racism training company. What do you do? I mean, so much of what happens in our brains is so beneath the surface, sometimes even to us, certainly to how we project to other people. How do you get people to think about these issues?
Well, I'm a big believer in linking some of these issues to pop culture because I think the media is just incredibly powerful in shaping our perceptions of race. And very often I will, you know, start pointing out some of these quote-unquote positive stereotypes and how they're played out in the media. And once people start recognizing them, then they start seeing them over and over again. And that becomes a way that you become very aware of these ideas. And once you are able to actually see the stereotype, then you become more aware of your own response to it. You know, are you personally believing in it even a little bit? And I think that that is really the first step to overcoming those beliefs.
Give me one concrete example from movie, TVs, anything in pop culture.
I would say just pretty much usually when Asian women are portrayed in the media, they are very often seen as quiet and submissive. And, you know, that to some people, certainly some men, is considered a positive stereotype. And so you definitely see that over and over again. Memoirs of a Geisha is obviously a big one.
And Professor Lewis, what about for you? What stands out maybe as a, you mentioned Jimmy the Greek. That was a case where he talked about slavery producing the big black bucks who went on to become running backs. Is that something that stands out for you?
Yes, that definitely stands out in pop culture. And the everyday, when we turn on the television, the limited ways in which we see African-American men, it's usually related to sports. And then when we do see African-American men, such as Barack Obama, the conversation shifts to, well, he's the exception to the rule. We have to really push beyond seeing people as the exception and understand that there's a wide range of humanity in all people.
Carmen, any final words, any thoughts on how to take a look at this?
Well, I just want to share a quick story that happened to a friend of mine, and she was an Asian American. And in high school, she noticed that she was always treated much better than her Black and Latino schoolmates, even though they were academically kind of the same. And so one day she actually decided to test her theory out. And so she took down a painting that was hanging in the hall, and she walked down the hallway with it thinking to see if she could get away with stealing this painting. And along the way, the principal said, oh, let me hold the door open for you. Then she got to the parking lot, and the teacher held open her car trunk for her so that she could, you know, put the painting in the car. And nobody ever questioned what she was doing.
So, Carmen,
completely because of her race.
All right. Great place to end. Carmen Van Kerkhove, co-founder and president of New Demographic, and LaRue Lewis, an assistant professor of sociology and black studies at the City College of New York. That is our show for today. And thank you for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit nprnewsandnotes.org.